And I'm going to switch mics here, if you'll turn this other one on.
We are in the series, Teach Us to Pray, Lord. This was the request of the disciples in Luke chapter 11. And it is going to be it's something that we've been looking at now for, I guess, four or five different weeks throughout this year. I'll tell you a little bit of backstory. Some of you are new or new on a Sunday night. We've been preaching verse by verse the book of Philippians, and we came to a passage in Philippians chapter 1 where Paul prayed a deep prayer for the saints in Philippi. And in that sermon, I talked about how so often when it comes to our prayer lives, we pray such shallow prayers. And after the sermon, after that service, I was talking with Brother Payne about that, and he made a statement to me. He said, you know, I've learned that a lot of times people don't pray how they ought to because they have never been taught how to pray how they ought to. And the Holy Spirit used that to really speak to my heart and convict me that we need to take some time to do some discipleship in the Word on the subject of prayer. And so here in Luke chapter 11, the Bible tells us that the disciples of Jesus, after observing Jesus pray, they came to him with a plea, and what they did was they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. The disciples of Jesus had learned the secret of Jesus' power was connected to Jesus' prayer life. And that is a significant truth that we've looked at in previous weeks that we need to understand as well. You can expect no spiritual power without prayer. Prayer is a declaration of dependence upon God. Prayerlessness is a declaration of independence of God. To not pray is to basically say, I don't need God, I've got this. And that's why we need every day to come to God in prayer, and every day we come to God in prayer. Jesus gives us here in this passage of Scripture a model prayer to show us how we are supposed to do so. And Luke chapter number 11, if you're there, say amen. Well, I can't say amen yet. I'm not there yet. But Luke chapter 11, let's read the first four verses. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus understood the significance of prayer. Spent a lot of time in his life praying. If Jesus, who is 100% God, needed to take time to pray when he lived on this earth as 100% a man, how much more do you and I need to do so? There's no one more qualified to teach us on the subject of prayer than Jesus himself. Jesus is basically teaching us how to talk to him. He is God. And when we come to God in prayer, Jesus wanted us to understand in this model prayer how we are to address him. And so many principles we've already looked from in this passage of Scripture, but a new section I believe the Lord wants us to learn from this evening. And why don't we pray together and ask for the Lord to open up our understanding to the Scriptures, and we'll dive into the study tonight. Father, we come before you now, and we thank you, God, for the day you've already blessed us with. It's been a day where you, Lord, have been worshipped from our hearts. It's also been a full day as we think of being able to honor our moms and thanking you for them. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd still our hearts and focus our attention in on the Scriptures. And in the few words that we'll study tonight, I pray that you would open our understanding and, Lord, deepen our prayer lives and help us, Lord, teach us to pray. Our heart's cry tonight is the same as the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would truly speak to hearts tonight as only you can. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, in this study in previous weeks, I'm going to review just briefly to catch everybody up to speed. By the way, is this thing too hot? Is this okay? Right. I feel like it's way too hot. We might need to turn it down just a little bit. But in previous weeks, I'm just going to review a little bit of what we've looked at. The first thing we looked at several weeks ago was we looked at the precedent for biblical prayer. And the precedent is in verse 1. The precedent is basically before we can truly pray as we ought to, we need to look to Jesus first. When the disciples wanted to know how to really pray, they looked to Jesus. They said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And you cannot know how to truly pray until you come to faith in Jesus Christ and you come before the throne of God through your faith in Jesus Christ. We looked at that first. And then the second thing that we looked at after the precedent for biblical prayer, we see the preliminaries of biblical prayer. The preliminaries of biblical prayer. And verse number 2, as we've already seen, he said at the first part of the verse, and he said unto them, four words, when you pray, say. And before he ever began to actually speak words, he taught us some of the prerequisites or the preliminaries that should be important to us, a mindset we should have before we ever come to approach God in prayer. He said when. God wants you to pray whenever you can. He said when you. We learn that your prayers are to be personal, not some impersonal ramblings or someone else praying for you. He said when you pray. Prosukamai, your prayer is to be directed to God alone. And you're not just talking to the air. When you pray, say. God wants you to actually talk to Him, to actually speak to Him, not just have thoughtless ramblings and call it prayer. He wants you to converse with Him, the preliminaries to prayer. Third truth we see in this passage, which we've already begun to explore, is the pattern of biblical prayer. And this is really the substance of the passage. In verses 2 through 4, Jesus begins to recite what we have often called the Lord's Prayer. And in 62 words, Jesus taught us the basics of how to pray. And there's so much truth packed in these 62 words. And what Jesus essentially gives us here is an outline for prayer. He does not, and don't forget this, He does not intend for us to pray this prayer verbatim. In fact, in Matthew chapter number 7, I believe it is, or it might be Matthew 6, Jesus actually said, don't pray vain repeated prayers. He discouraged from doing that. And so the idea is not to pray this prayer verbatim, but to learn from this example, this model, how you are supposed to pray. And so this is a model prayer for us. And as we look at the prayer itself, the first thing we notice is that it's divided into sections. And there are three sections of three in this example prayer that Jesus has given to us. The first section being a section of submission. And in this passage, in this part where Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We learn from this how to submit ourselves to the Lord, or we could say how to approach God in prayer. We come saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the second section, which we'll look at tonight, is the section of surrender. We learn in this section how to adjust ourselves to God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Third section is the section of supplication. In that section, we learn how to appeal to God, make our requests known to God. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The future week, we'll also see there is a fourth section, not included in Luke 11's passage, in a parallel passage in Matthew chapter number 7, where Jesus includes a closing ascription, and that is, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That is the section of supposition. You learn how to accredit God, give God all the glory for what He has done and what He will do. And so we see this prayer, this Lord's Prayer, is divided into these sections. All right? And so that's the sections, but now it's just, I want to dig back into the substance of the prayer itself. Now, we've already looked at section 1. The section of submission, we learn how to approach God. And we've talked about coming to God in prayer, saying, Our Father. We approach God acknowledging who He is, who art in heaven. We approach God with respect, acknowledging where God sits. Hallowed be thy name. We approach God with reverence, acknowledging how special God is to you, how unique God is to you. It's really when you come to God in prayer, you don't come making demands first, you come giving praise first. You come honoring the Lord. You come adoring the Lord. That's how we are to approach God in prayer. And so that's the first section of this Lord's Prayer. But now I want to look at the second section, and that is the section of surrender. In this section, as I've said again before, we learn how we are to adjust ourselves to God. And I'm going to clarify that as we slow down now and we really dig into this next phrase. Now, the Bible tells us there in Luke 11, and at the end of verse 2 is where this section is at. Jesus said we're to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth." Can we read that phrase out loud together? Let's read it out loud together. Here we go. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth." After you have taken time to approach God's throne, when you come to God in prayer, that's section one, submit it to the Lord. If you've taken time to approach God's throne, you ought to next spend some time allowing your heart to be adjusted to God. This is in prayer. Approach the Lord, and then you allow your heart to be adjusted to God. Get this. Cannot submit to God without being moved to a place of surrender. If you have truly submitted to the Lord, as you're coming to Him in prayer, your heart is going to be moved to a place of surrender to the Lord. You cannot acknowledge that God is your God and God is over all and God, and not acknowledge how special God is to you without naturally coming to a place where you say, "God, I want whatever you want." You cannot acknowledge Him as Lord, as Father, and reverence without coming to a place where you'd be willing to do what He would ask you to do. And so your moment of submission in prayer should naturally lead to a moment of surrender in prayer. And this is how the Christian life works. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you submit your, I forgot how it goes. Help me out here. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so the idea of that verse is, as you present your life to the Lord, or we could say as you lay your life on the altar before God in prayer every single day, what will begin to happen is, in your life, is that God will begin to transform your life. Or as the scripture puts it there in that verse, He will begin to renew your mind. And oftentimes, as I've spent time with the Lord in prayer, God has begun to change not my circumstances, but how I look at my circumstances. He began to change how I think. And that is something that God wants to do as we spend time with Him in prayer. We're going to see this further brought out as we go deeper into this study. And so once you place your all on the altar, what naturally happens next is that God begins to give you a new mind, to renew your mind about the things in your life. By the way, Philippians 2, which we studied this morning, that is exactly what was happening in Paul's life. He said, "I hope to send Timothy to you shortly. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly." What Paul was saying was, I don't know exactly what God wants for Timothy, but later on he comes back and he says, "I trust in the Lord that I will come and see you. I will come and see you." Paul had gotten to a place, although it hadn't happened yet, that he knew it was God's will, that he was going to be released and he was going to come see them. And that was something that God confirmed in his heart through prayer. And it's an amazing thing because he couldn't tell how it was going to happen, but he knew that God wanted it to happen. And lo and behold, you look at history later, it's exactly what happened. And but he was after the will of God. That's the point. He was seeking the will of God. And so if you spend the time you ought to spend in prayer every day, God will be doing a continual renewing of your mind about everything in your life. The question of the day. How would your life change if every day you spent some time surrendering to God? Every day. Jesus said, when you pray, I hope you pray every day. And if you pray the way Jesus intended for you to pray every day, you will take time, spend some time surrendering to the Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. How did your life change? You started surrendering to God every single day. That was a convicting thought for me. Because God is my witness, I can't say that I truly have done that every day. I can say God has truly convicted my heart that I need to. Whatever you want today, God. I might say, well, of course that's what I mean, but it's not always how I live. Taking time to consciously acknowledge, God, I want what you want today, is a significant thing. And that's what God is looking for from us. And so, how do we do it? Here's how Jesus taught us in the three phrases here. How to surrender to Him. How to adjust our lives to Him. The first thing I want you to note down here is that if you're going to surrender to the Lord, you must surrender the dominion first. Surrender the dominion. It said there in verse number 2, thy kingdom come. The word kingdom, the Greek word, that literally, it's not talking about a physical kingdom or even a kingdom in general, how we think about it, but what it's really talking about is the right to rule. And so what Jesus is saying we ought to pray is, God, the right to rule. In other words, you're Lord, you're King, right? And I want your kingdom to be established. That's what the word come means, thy kingdom come. It's a Greek word that could be translated be established. God, I want your kingdom to be established. Now, it's interesting to me that one of the most popular verses in the scripture, in that verse, Jesus teaches us how our temporal needs on this earth ought not to be a primary concern for us, but rather God's kingdom being established is what should be a primary concern for us. You know the verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek you first kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. God said, you put my kingdom first, I'll take care of you. Just put my kingdom first. And it's interesting to me here that before Jesus tells us to ever mention any of our needs, now there is a place to ask for your needs. We'll come to that later. But before you ever get there, Jesus says, pray, your kingdom come. I want your kingdom to be established. In other words, Jesus told you to allow His kingdom to come first in your life, and He will take care of all your other needs along the way. Significant. So in this sense, prayer is asking God to use us to further His kingdom. That's what prayer is. It's coming to God and asking Him to use the little pipsqueaks that we are to advance His kingdom purposes in this world. And boy, what a privilege it is that God would even use us. That God would even allow us to be a part of His great kingdom work. But the truth is, that's what we're supposed to pray every day. Prayer is asking God to use us to advance His kingdom work. And so the question that naturally follows that then is, what is the kingdom of God? Thought about that? You give me a working definition of the kingdom of God. It's actually a controversial issue, believe it or not. And a lot of people think they know what the kingdom of God is. And I don't pretend that I have wrapped my mind fully around it. But this is something I do know. The Pharisees come to Jesus and they're questioning Him. And they think they know what the kingdom of God is all about. In Luke chapter 17 and verses 20 and 21... the Bible tells us that when the verses preceding this, the Jews in Jesus' day came to Jesus and they basically asked Him, are you going to set up your kingdom? They thought that Jesus, the Messiah's purpose was to come and set up a physical kingdom on this earth. But Jesus corrected their misconceptions in Luke 17 verses 20 and 21 when He told them the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, you're not going to see it physically. You're not going to see it on the exterior. He said, neither will they say, oh, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. What a revolutionary concept. Kingdom of God is within you. So we conclude the kingdom of God has everything to do with Jesus' spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority. It is not about an earthly reign. It is about a spiritual reign in your heart. And that's why every day in your heart, you need to pray, God, rule in my life. That's what you're praying. You are Lord, whatever you want, right? That's what it means to pray, thy kingdom come. And by the way, every time a soul claims Jesus as Lord and Savior, God's kingdom is advanced. I love it. Every time somebody trusts Christ as their Savior, that's another person brought into the kingdom of God, so to speak. Another person who has made Christ the Lord and chief of their life. And so we are to pray that, that the Lord Jesus' right to rule would be more established upon this earth through our lives today. Now, you make no mistake about it. One day, Jesus is coming again, and he will set up an eternal kingdom. And the Bible is very clear on that fact. In fact, Jesus, while he walked this earth, he was asked by, I believe it was Pilate, or it might have been Herod, one of them, asked him, aren't you a king? I mean, aren't these Jews your people? And why are they opposed to you? And Jesus answered him in John 18 and verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight for me? But now is my kingdom not from hence. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is within those who have believed in him. And we are a part of that, and that is a beautiful thing. And so we are to surrender ourselves every day to live for that kingdom. Not this world, but for that kingdom, his kingdom. The kingdom, one day he will, yes, come and establish physically on earth, but right now it has been established in our hearts. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We have received a kingdom. That's what the Bible says there. So, hey, let's have grace to serve God for that kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be living for. I encourage you with this. Don't waste your life living for the wrong kingdom. Take your workplace, whatever the name of it is, your hobby or your association. Don't get so caught up living for that kingdom. You don't live the kingdom that's going to matter for eternity. Seek first the kingdom of God. You want to learn how to pray a prayer of surrender to the Lord? Hey, you need to surrender the dominion to God. Thy kingdom come. It's the second thing. Thy will be done. We could put it this way. You surrender your dominion, and then secondly, you surrender your desires. Desires. Thy will be done. Listen to me on this. Prayer is not a time for us to tell God what we want, but we can selfishly enjoy it. Prayer is asking God to use us to accomplish what he wants. That's what prayer is. Asking God to use us to accomplish what he wants. By the way, James warns us about the danger trying to come to God selfishly satisfy our own wants. James chapter number 4, verses 3 and 4, if you want to write it down or turn there. James chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity or hatred with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James uses strong language about this thing. All right? Your will is not always God's will. A lot of times when our will gets warped, it's more in line with this world. And what Jesus is trying to say there is you're getting in bed with the world. You're allowing desires that aren't my desires to consume you so much. And you're asking for things that are not within my will. And you're wondering why I'm not answering. One thing I've learned in my life is to be thankful. Prayers God doesn't answer. But a lot of foolish prayers I've prayed. A lot of foolish prayers I've prayed. I've prayed for God to make relationships work that weren't God's will for my life. I've prayed for God to open doors for ministry and open doors for provision that weren't his will for my life. Looking back on those things, I'm thankful for every single prayer God did not answer for me. Say, well, he did answer. Well, yeah, he said no, I guess, okay? Thankful when he does. You've got to learn to be thankful when God doesn't answer your prayers. The fact is, what you thought you wanted was good, what God wants is exponentially better. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He's the one that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to his power that works in us. That's our God. And if you think you can come up with a good idea, you've got nothing on God, friend. His will is so much better than whatever it is that you may think that you want. As I said before, prayer is asking God to use you to accomplish what he wants. By the way, there's no better example for us of this than Jesus Christ himself when he walked this earth. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Before he went to the cross, he got on his knees and he sweat great drops of blood as he prayed earnestly. He said, "Oh Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He prayed this prayer with more power and more surrender than what any of us, I believe, will ever comprehend. Jesus had to endure what Jesus surrendered himself to in that moment in Gethsemane before he went to Calvary is a wonderful thing. Think about our study in Philippians. Paul also had a struggle similar to this. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two desires here. On one hand, I want to die, and I want to go be with Jesus. That's so much better. On the other hand, I know God wants me to stay here, help you all grow. So I'm going to do what God wants. Paul, essentially, in that passage, said the same thing. God, not what I want, but what you want. Every day when we come to God in prayer, after we acknowledge who he is, we say, God, you reign in my heart, and because you reign in my heart, whatever you want, do it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go there. Whoever you want me to witness to, I'll witness to them. Not my will, but thine be done. And God, if you don't decide to answer my prayer the way that I want you to, I'm going to trust your will. If you don't bring the healing, if you don't bring the provision, if you don't answer the prayer the way that I think you're supposed to answer the prayer, I know your ways are higher, your thoughts are greater, and I'm going to trust you. That's what it means to pray, thy will be done. God, help us to learn how to pray those kinds of prayers. So every day you ought to surrender your will to God's will. There's a verse I love on this subject, Psalm 37 and verse 4. Perhaps you've memorized it. Psalm 37 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of thine heart." Just to look at that verse and think, well, if I love God the way I should, then God will give me what I want. Quite how it works. If I find my delight in God, what that verse is saying is that all of a sudden I will learn to start wanting what God wants. He will give me what I ought to desire as I delight in him. I'll tell you something, as you get closer to God, you'll want what he wants. It's a whole lot better than whatever you wanted. God's will is so much better. And I can testify to it, and a host of you around this room could. Glad I didn't settle for what my will was when it came to my profession in life, when it came to the person I married, all these things. God's will is so much better, so much better. And I thank the Lord for that. And so if you're going to pray this prayer of surrender, you need to surrender the dominion. You need to surrender your desires to the Lord. And the final thing I want you to see is you need to surrender your direction. As in heaven, so on earth. This is interesting to me. As you pray, you are to pray that what God wills in heaven be done on earth. I heard the story of a man who was watching the news one night, and all of a sudden a breaking story came on. There was a person who was driving down the freeway in the opposite direction. The helicopter was videoing it, and so you could see the person weaving and bobbing between all these people. And the husband, being concerned, he knew his wife was on her way home from work. He immediately called his wife on her cell phone and he said, "Honey, be careful. There's somebody going the opposite direction down the interstate you're on right now." She said, "There's not one person going the wrong direction. There are hundreds of people going the wrong direction." Been caught going the wrong way? Most of us men in this room, okay, and some of us women, find out we're going the wrong way, we don't like to admit it, do we? And I have got stories I could tell about that I don't have time to tell, so I won't. But I've been there, done that, and bought the souvenir, okay? A problem with going the wrong direction sometime, but when it comes to prayer, we really have a problem with going the wrong direction. Ever said before, or heard somebody say, I just feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Felt that way? Feel like God's not listening to you? Say, if that's your perspective of prayer, praying the wrong direction. You're praying in an unscriptural direction. God wants your prayers not to start on earth and go to heaven, to start in heaven, come back to earth. What do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you what I mean before we're done. Go in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. That's a rich truth here. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. There, say amen. The Bible says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, he's in heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You truly begin to understand what it means to approach the throne of God and make your request known to Him, it will change the way you pray. Most people, I won't even say most, but I will say many people, have a very flawed view of prayer as children of God. See, when you become a child of God, no longer will you be praying from this earth asking God to send down an answer, but you will learn to approach God's throne in heaven and bring back an answer from God to this earth. That's powerful praying. Adrian Rogers said, we too often pray in the wrong direction. We try to pray from earth to heaven when we ought to be praying from heaven to earth. Just think about how praying this way, as in heaven, so on earth, will change your prayer life. And there's a lot of significant principles we could pull out of this. I'll just mention three. The first is this. You learn how to pray from heaven to earth. You can pray believing prayers, knowing that God hears them. I mean, when you come to God in prayer, you can believe that God hears you and God's going to listen. That's powerful kind of praying. And let me tell you, as a child of God, don't miss this, you are not a guest in heaven. You belong there. You're not ostracized. You're not kicked out. You say, well, I had a really tough week, and I think that God's not going to listen to me. No. If you've been saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's not your righteousness that gives you access to God. It's His righteousness that gives you access to God. And you can come boldly before the throne of God through the blood of Jesus Christ at any time. When you learn how to pray from heaven to earth, it'll change your prayers. You can pray believing prayers. You don't have to come to God with doubt or with uncertainty. You can know when you come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, not only does He hear you, but He will do something for you as you come to Him in prayer. Jesus said, if you pray in My name, you can believe, be done. Powerful prayer. Makes it powerful, faith in Jesus Christ. When you begin to pray from heaven to earth, it'll change the way you pray because you'll begin to pray believing prayers. By the way, can I tell you, it's Satan who wants you to believe God doesn't want to listen to you, that you don't have access to God, and that, boy, you shouldn't even bother talking to God. You failed too much this week. Just wait till tomorrow. Wait till you turn your life around. He'll tell you all kinds of lies to keep you from praying. He knows when a believer gets on his knees and gets connected with God, there's no more powerful force in this world than that. Listen to Him. Cast down those lies with the sword of truth and with the shield of faith. Defend yourself from them. Not true. You can come to God believing your faith in Jesus Christ. When you pray from heaven to earth, you'll be able to pray believing prayers. Not only that, you'll be able to pray honest prayers, knowing that God understands you. You can pray honest prayers, knowing that God understands you. Now, just a moment ago, read Hebrews 4:15, where the Bible says that in heaven today, We have a high priest who is not unfamiliar with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to walk in the shoes you're walking in, to face the temptations that you face, to go through the struggles that you are going through. Jesus has walked this earth. He knows what it's like. And when you come to God, He's not a God who cannot identify with you. He knows exactly what you're going through. And when you talk to Him, you can be honest. You don't have to act like you got it all together. You don't have to act like you are doing okay with your struggles. He knows what it's like. And you can be real with Him. You can be honest with Him. And when you start praying from heaven to earth, you'll be able to pray honest prayers. You're not trying to gain God's favor. You know you already have it. And you can come before God exactly how Romans chapter 8 says you can come before God. You can come before God and call Him Daddy. Dad, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what choice I should make about this. Dad, I messed up again. You know He's going to put up with you. You know He's going to listen to you. You know He's going to have pity on you. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities us. Psalm 103. Wonderful thing. Praying from heaven to earth will enable you to pray believing prayers, honest prayers. But the final thing I see is it will enable you to pray bold prayers. Let's come boldly before His throne. Grace, the Bible says. You come before God in prayer. It's an amazing thing. But if you can really wrap your head around this, it'll boost your prayer life. You come before God in prayer. You literally have all the resources of God at your disposal. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, the Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All of it. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's a significant truth right there. You've got it all. And the fact is, when you come before God, you can come boldly and you can make your requests known to God. And boy, when you realize that you have the right through Jesus Christ to come before God's throne in heaven to make your petitions known, you will learn to come boldly expecting God to answer you. Over and over and over again in the Scripture, God calls us to pray bold prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In Matthew 7 and verse 7, He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. The Bible says in Mark 11 and verse 24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Suffice it to say, God wants you to be bold in your prayer life today. Sometimes I've thought this, and I'm sure you've thought it before. I wonder if this is too big a request. About that? I thought it recently. $5 million recently. I thought, well, maybe we should build a smaller building. If we go any smaller, there's not much point in moving. I think about that prayer, and I thought, well, just don't know how it's going to be possible. It's too big of a prayer, some would say. I propose to you, we have too big of a God. I like a song, and I was blessed to hear our kids practicing it this week. They're going to sing a song for the closing assembly for the school this year, a song called Big Enough. It seems there is no way. I know my God is big enough. Blessing. You're going to enjoy hearing it in a couple weeks. God is big enough. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Your request, my friend, is not too great, because God is greater still, whatever it is. As one person put it, don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. That is praying from heaven to earth. You start on earth with your prayer, you'll wonder if God is big enough. When you get in front of God and you remember how special and how glorious God is, and you say, I want your kingdom to be advanced and I want what you want for my life. And by the way, God, hey, I want your will to be done as it's done in heaven, so on this earth. I want to see heaven come down to earth. I want to see miracles happen, God, with your answer to my prayer. God can do it. God can do it. Praying from heaven to earth. Friend, as you come to the Lord in prayer, start with submission. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, there's no one like you. And then you move to a time of surrender to the Lord in prayer. God, you reign my life. Whatever you want today, I want to do what you want, not what I want. God, I want what you want to be accomplished as it's done in heaven. Whatever you say is going to happen up here in this time of prayer, I'm going to believe it'll happen down here on this earth. Like Paul. God told Paul, you're going to be released from prison. You're going to go visit the Philippians. And I'm sure people were looking at him and saying, you're crazy, Paul. That's not going to happen. Well, it happened. It happened. I can't tell. I don't have time to share all the stories I was going to tell you tonight about how God has allowed us to see prayers answered in heaven before we ever seen it happen on this earth. But God can do it. God does do it. If we learn to surrender ourselves to the Lord on a daily basis, see it happen in our own lives. So I close with the statement, or the question that I began with. How would your life change every day spent some time surrendering God? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. God, help us to do it. Bow our heads for prayer together. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.